This morning's scripture passage comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have yet to ascend to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that had said these things to her. This ends the reading of God's holy word for this morning. May we be blessed by its reading, hearing, and application. Let's pray together. Lord, for many of us, this account from John is a familiar words, but words that never get old, words too good to read only once a year on Easter morning. Lord, we come with that anticipation and expectation. Not the same expectation that the disciples and the women had that morning. They were expecting to find a filled tomb with a dead body. And instead, it was an empty tomb and a missing body. But then they encountered the resurrected Christ. Lord, we pray that we may encounter the resurrected Christ in our lives as well through your Spirit. We pray that we may be strengthened as they were, for our daily living, and that we may share that good news with others. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier, I welcomed you and said, "Happy Easter," and I say that again to you, but I also say, "Happy April Fool's Day." It is unusual for these two events to coincide. Since 1700, 318 years ago, Easter has fallen on April 1st only 11 times. That's 3.5%. The last time Christians celebrated Easter on April 1st was in 1956, more than 60 years ago, when the world was so unlike the world and culture we inhabit today. Typically, on April Fool's Day, a prank is played on a person who has forgotten about the perils of April 1st. And when the prank is completed and the fool humiliated, the perpetrator then yells, "April Fools!" But today is also Easter, unarguably the highest and most holy day of the Christian calendar. And since it is April 1st, we may ask, who, after all, is the April Fool in the Easter story? Many candidates come to mind, and I'm going to highlight some of those this morning. Is the April Fool Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator, who was the one who cowered in the face of certain religious leaders who said that failing to deal harshly with a treasonous villain like Jesus would not be viewed favorably by Rome? Pilate is the one who washed his hands of the whole affair. He permitted the execution, and not only permitted it, but allowed it to happen in the name of the emperor. And then 3 days later, it's Easter, and Jesus is risen. Surprise, Pilate! April Fools! Perhaps the disciples are the April Fools. There's no doubt that many of the disciples felt foolish as the crucifixion approached. They had given up their jobs for Jesus. They had left their homes and their families to follow this man on his wanderings and his journeys around the countryside, up and down Palestine. Yes, they had witnessed some phenomenal events, things they could not then and could not now explain. They had pinned their hopes and their futures to a man they believed would liberate them. And now he is being led away as a lamb to the slaughter. So the disciples went home. They denied knowing him, abandoned him, betrayed him, and wanted to forget him. And now it's Easter morning, and Jesus is alive. April Fools! Perhaps the April Fool is Annas, the high priest, and his son-in-law Caiaphas. Annas is a dark figure in the Holy Week drama. He has corrupted witnesses, falsified evidence, placed a mole inside Jesus' inner circle, tracked the movements of this radical insurgent, and bided his time. But now, with Passover approaching, Annas must make sure that Jesus is dead and buried, and do it quickly. Annas pulls the strings. He uses Pontius Pilate. He gets what he wants. But now, Annas, it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. April Fools! Perhaps April Fools, the April Fools, are the soldiers guarding the tomb. We might even have some sympathy for these men. They're simply cogs in the Roman industrial military complex. They've got guard duty. Where? Some prestigious place? No, in a cemetery. They must have been caught doing something inappropriate, perhaps falsifying their tally sheets for hours worked, or inadvertently allowing a prisoner to escape their custody. So now, as humiliating punishment, they've been sent to the tombs to guard dead people. They are good, decent men, ordinary and common, obeying orders, guarding a dead person. But the teasing by their colleagues must have been brutal. And now it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. April Fools. Perhaps the April Fool is Peter, that commercial fisherman. Peter had started out enthusiastically. He defended his rabbi left and right. He was the one who identified Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter swore never to abandon his Lord. He even drew a sword against a group of Roman security forces in the garden that night and nearly decapitated one of them. But his swing was errant and deprived the soldier of only his ear and not his head. But then Peter loses faith faster than a rock sinks in water. When Jesus at last is captured and led away, Peter denies he ever knew the man. And the person who said he would never leave Jesus disappears. What a fool. And now, Peter, it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. April Fools. Perhaps the April Fool is Thomas, the disciple who relied on his knowledge of the visible world, believing there's a natural explanation for everything. When Jesus talked about a place, going up to a place to prepare for them, it was this man, Thomas, who first stated and then asked a question and said, "We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And when the other disciples asserted that Jesus was alive, it was Thomas who demanded to see the evidence. He said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of those nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And now, Thomas, it's Easter morning, and Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. April Fools. Perhaps the greatest fools of all are all of us. Certainly, much of the world believes we're completely foolish souls who need Jesus and religion as some sort of emotional crutch to get through our daily lives. It's likely that a fair percentage of the general population who, although identifying themselves as religious, think that we, who are committed followers of Jesus, take things too seriously. We who love Jesus, who follow his teachings, who obey his word, are regarded by many as fools, the April Fools. But perhaps there is another sense in which we're the Easter Fools. We're fools when we believe, when we claim to believe, but behave as though we don't. We affirm a belief in the resurrection of Christ. We declare that he is risen. But we live as though Jesus is still in the tomb, cold and decaying. We affirm our belief with our lips, but do not confess Jesus as Lord with our lives. And now it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. Are we the April Fools? No, not really. The biggest April Fool is not Pontius Pilate, not the disciples, not Annas the high priest, not Peter, not Thomas, and not any of us. The greatest April Fool is Jesus Christ himself. And I'm not being blasphemous at that words. He is the fool of Easter. He is the trickster, as it were. He is the one who called the devil's bluff in the greatest jest of all time. Even during his ministry, Jesus acted in what we might label foolish ways. What many observers, contemporary observers label that Jesus was very foolish during his lifetime. He eschewed the comfortable lifestyle. For friends, he had tax collectors and hookers, lepers, fishermen, and the poor and the needy. Not a CEO among his inner circle. He shunned aside angel investors and instead told them to give their wealth away and to follow him. He knew that there is power in being a somebody, but there is truth in being a nobody. Jesus opted for the truth because he knew that power emerges from truth. Jesus chose weakness instead of strength, vulnerability instead of aggressiveness, truth instead of practicality, and honesty instead of influence. Jesus figuratively and almost literally stuck his fingers in the eyes of the religious authorities and often seemed to deliberately bait those who had power to kill him. And then they did. They did just that. but death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. On Easter, April Fool's Day, God made foolish the wisdom of the world, as the Apostle Paul wrote. Jesus was God's fool, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks or the Gentiles, whereby God reconciled the world to himself. Today, Jesus is alive, he who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It was Jesus who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's pretty foolish, it would seem. But this is not the end of the story. For the Apostle Paul continues with these words, "Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." On this Easter April Fool's Sunday, perhaps this is what we have an opportunity to do. As fools for Christ, as God's fools, we may consider in humble reverence, reaffirming our allegiance to the one who pulled off the greatest jest in history. Perhaps we may reaffirm our belief that Jesus is Lord. And if you would like to do that, I invite you now to join with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, many people might not think it's the smartest thing in the world to follow you. In fact, they may think we're crazy and that you yourself were something of a lunatic. But we have just enough foolish faith to believe that you pulled it off, that you conquered death and brought life and light to the darkened world. So we recommit our lives to you, to be your fools, as it were, to live for you, and to seek support in that company of fools we call the church. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for the Lord's Supper is Alleluia, Alleluia, number 266. We'll be singing verse 1 only.